This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back?
Hour 3 of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we'll circle back to Freddie Freeman, plus Brooks Koepka with some thoughts. We'll get ready for the July 4th holiday because this is the final hour I'll be on air before July 4th. I'll be away tomorrow and next week. We'll reconvene on July 11th into the month of July. Wow, July's already here tomorrow. June went quick. We were just talking about how June got here quickly. Now June's already gone. Leaving tonight. So after today, I'll be back with you July 11th. I'm sure not a whole lot will happen in the next few days. Get to Sean Watson's verdict and everything else going on. And potentially, college football teams joining other conferences. We'll circle back to the bombshell report from John Wilner about USC and UCLA planning to leave to the Big Ten in 2 years. We'll get to that in just a moment. Plenty more to do here in this final hour before we go. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch you on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Podcasts also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page. And don't forget, charlestonsportsradio.com is the place to be Monday morning on July 4th, 8 a.m. to get your latest foursome for the Summer Golf Tour. Summer Golf Tour continues next week, Monday, 8 a.m., charlestonsportsradio.com. Get there quickly because these foursomes go very quick. And next week, it's the Plantation Course at Edisto. The foursomes will be gone within about 10 minutes, probably even on a holiday. So you may be off on July 4th, but the Summer Golf Tour doesn't stop. Get your foursomes this upcoming Monday after the weekend, July 4th, 8 a.m., charlestonsportsradio.com. Foursomes for just 98.9. You can't beat it. So be ready to go next week. Our Summer Golf Tour continues Monday morning, 8 a.m. Set your alarm. Mark your calendar. CharlestonSportsRadio.com. So John Wilner had this report last hour. Shared it with you just before we closed out hour two. But according to at least a source, Wilner was told, and he covers the Pac-12, USC and UCLA are planning to leave for the Big Ten as early as 2024. Move has not been finalized at the highest levels of power. That's what John Wilner said. Now, clearly, right, like most decisions, this is why I said at the time when people were being really hard on the live golfers, most things we do in life is just based around money. That's what those guys did. I imagine that's what these two schools are doing here, USC and UCLA. You go to the Big Ten, you're going to get more money. Pac-12 has been struggling for years. They're on the brink of bankruptcy. They have the worst TV deal. The Big Ten probably has the best TV deal in college sports. So where would you rather be, the Pac-12 or the Big Ten? Well, certainly from a business perspective, if all things were equal, of course the Big Ten. You'll make more money. You'll be in a better situation. You'll have better resources. But when we look specifically at USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten, it's pretty interesting. Shocking. I did not see any sort of announcement like this coming in anytime soon. But in terms of competition, the Big Ten will be much more challenging. See, that's the interesting thing about USC. USC now at Lincoln Riley and the talent they're bringing in, and especially with name, image, likeness, the thought is that USC could dominate the Pac-12 moving forward, much like they did with Pete Carroll. Now, if you ask, I've always made this case before in the show, that if you ask those that run athletic departments, they care more about making money than they do winning games. That's the name of the game, is making money. A lot of baseball teams or a lot of professional teams are like that as well. Just like I said in the first segment today, teams that won't spend money, right, because they're more interested in just simply making money. They want to pocket the money. They don't want to reinvest it in the roster. They don't care if their team's not winning games as long as they're making money. That's all they care about. So most people that are not like coaches, most people that are making the business decisions, well, they care about the business. They want to make money. So for USC, what's better financially being in the Big Ten? What's better on the football field being in the Pac-12. Certainly for UCLA. UCLA is not even a great program in the Pac-12. Good luck football-wise going to the Big Ten. UCLA is more about, it'd be more for basketball. Big Ten's a really good basketball conference. UCLA under Mick Cronin is getting that basketball program back. Obviously, historically, it's a great basketball program. You add that into the Big Ten, that makes the basketball even better. And USC, Andy Enfield has done a pretty good job there. USC basketball, you know, they'll help out as well with Big Ten basketball. But for UCLA, you know, that's a bigger get in basketball than it is football. But I do find it interesting that USC, you could stay where you are, dominate for years, theoretically, under Lincoln Riley. We were just talking yesterday about which of these new coaches could win first. You know, Lincoln Riley at USC could try to get it done, but now it's going to become a lot harder moving to the Big Ten. And then the, I guess, irony, I never really know with that term, after the crummy 90s song, but Lincoln Riley, the idea was that he left Oklahoma because he was afraid, this is what we all believe, this is our theory as sports fans, he's afraid to go to the SEC. He wants to go to the Pac-12 where it's easier. Well, now the Pac-12, right, as soon as he gets to USC before he even coaches a game, it's like, all right, we're going to the Big Ten. So that's interesting. So maybe there wasn't any truth to those theories or rumors. In regards of the players and, like, recruiting, I think UCLA, this could really hurt. USC may be just fine that it won't matter, especially with the transfer portal and Lincoln Riley and now name, image, likeness. But the idea is that you always want to play in the areas you recruit. Colorado has struggled since joining the Pac-12 because they're like the outlier. You know, Rutgers in the Big Ten's a disaster. There's nobody else really around them. I went through it as a UConn fan. That's why UConn just rejoined the Big East. They were playing in the American Conference, the AAC, and they would go down and play in Texas and Louisiana and all these other places, and it's like, we're not recruiting kids from here. And it's hard to sell kids on, hey, come play at UConn, and we'll go play in Texas. And like, I have no family around there. I want to play in this area where I grew up, the places I'm familiar with, where my family could still travel to the games and see me. And so UConn kind of screwed over their football program just to get the basketball program back in the Big East because it's so much better for them. Now they play just in the Northeast. Makes it easier to recruit. So in the case of USC and UCLA, you're recruiting a kid that, hey, come play in California, and then we're going to go out to the Midwest and play all our games. Typically, could be a little bit of a tough sell. Now, again, for UCLA, I think it would be a tougher sell. USC, maybe not so much, because it is the brand of USC, and you have Lincoln Riley, and they'll have name, image, and likeness. And the other thing that probably helps is that they're also based in California. So you have all the talent you need in that state, even if you are going to travel out of that state to play a lot of your games. There's so much talent to pick from in your own backyard still. Where, like, again, to use my examples, Colorado, how much football talent is there around there? Connecticut, we have some good basketball players, but it's not New York City. It's not Chicago, right, when you make things even harder on yourself to recruit. For USC, there's so much talent in California that even if they make things a little bit harder, it's just a numbers game. There's so many guys to choose from. But that is something else that we see this a lot when teams join conferences that they're far away from. It makes it harder on them. They usually have less success in said conference. You could probably make the case for like a Missouri as well in the SEC. Missouri is the outlier. Everyone else is actually in the Southeast. Missouri's over there doing their own thing. And they have not been great in recent years trying to compete in the SEC or even get great players. But I think also, most importantly, the number one takeaway from all of this, other than maybe the shock value, once that wears off and you're trying to figure out, like, what's going on? It's just another move towards these super conferences we always hear about. With Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC in 2025, now an opportunity. This is just a report right now. This isn't 100% fact, but a report that in 2 years we'll have USC, UCLA join the Big Ten. I mean, what do you have left in the Pac, whatever they become, the Pac-12? They'll have to change their name again. What do you have left in the Big 12? I know they're bringing in Cincinnati and they're bringing in all these others. It's not Oklahoma. It's not Texas. They're not teams that are competing for the national championship. And you'll have the SEC and the Big 10 that are already the two best conferences that are only going to get stronger with these moves. Now, I know on Fan Talk, this is going back maybe a couple weeks. You guys did an exercise where you were trying to come up with a super conference, right?
Sure. Yeah, we definitely did.
If you remove now USC and Texas, Oklahoma, because they're joining the SEC and the Big Ten, what other teams in the Pac-12 would like a super conference be interested in?
You know, I think Utah could probably be in that conversation because they've had good years. Oregon can be in that conversation.
Yeah,
potentially Washington. I know they haven't had great success over the last 4 or 5 years, but they almost were a playoff team. I believe they were a playoff team a couple years back. So I think those three brands, but I mean the Oregon States of the world, you know, they won't survive, unfortunately. Cal, like all those schools.
I'll give you Oregon.
Yeah.
Utah, I don't know. Utah, you know, they've had some good years, but I don't know if they have, like, the draw, you know, the brand power.
They don't, but they'll probably beat the life out of Florida week one, so.
Something to look forward to. In the Big 12, without Oklahoma and Texas, who else in the Big 12 is there that would be of interest to, say, some sort of super conference?
Oklahoma State, I think, would be a
team.
So? Yeah, I think they have a decent enough draw. They always put out, you know, good products. They've had a lot of success over the past couple years. Baylor potentially could be in a super conference. But these are all, like, teams on the fringe, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's flip a coin if you want to put Oklahoma State. Flip a coin if you want to put Washington in there. But, yeah, I mean, I was not expecting this today, and this is all just completely turned on its head now. And like you're mentioning, this is kind of the start of a, you know, hopeful super conference at some point.
Yeah, we're continuing to move in that direction. The ACC is the one exception because you do have Clemson, of course, Miami, and then I'd still say Florida State, even though they're down right now.
Virginia Tech even has a big brand, so.
Yeah, you could see maybe a Virginia Tech.
Notre Dame half the time.
That's right. Notre Dame is an independent. Yep, they'd still be one. Yeah, and they're a quasi-part of the ACC. So the ACC still has some schools that they can hold on to, obviously most notably Clemson. But if these moves do take place, or when these moves take place in the case of the Big 12, like, you know, these are big hits to the Pac-12, the Big 12, and then you're looking at the powers of the Big 10 and the SEC, and then Clemson and Miami over there controlling things. So just moving closer to this idea of some sort of super conference taking over college football. But a big report. I don't know if we can even call it news yet, right? It's just an idea, but a source saying they're planning to leave for the Big Ten as early as 2024. Could this be some sort of, like, bluff to get more out of the pack? I have no idea. I don't know. But it's an interesting thought, idea, and report from John Wilner.
Now, I'm a fan of the Super Conference. Like, if we had one, I'd like to see. We were just talking before we came back on. Southern Cal versus Ohio State, I feel like, is going to be awesome. You know, Southern Cal versus Michigan is going to be awesome. I would like to see more of these games happen. You know, as far as if we had a super conference, you could get an Alabama taking on a Southern Cal in the regular season. You can get a Texas going to Ohio State, you know, to take them on. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I've never been anti-super conference. I'm one that doesn't really like change, so I hate conference realignment in general. Like, I hate when they ruined the old Big East. The Big East was great. Now, I grew up on the Big East, so maybe I'm a little biased. But even Big East football, I always enjoyed, you know, 20 years ago. So I hate all the moving around. But also at the same time, yeah, if you give me a super conference where you take the 25 best teams in college football and they're all just in the same conference and they just play one another, I mean, how could you hate that? You're getting the best games that we could get in college football. That would be great. It would suck for the next tier of teams. Like, if you're a fan of a Colorado State, all these other schools, Rutgers, yeah, it kind of sucks. You're on the outside looking in. You're going to have to do your own thing. You become, like, the Division I AA. But just from a general college football perspective, yeah, if you give me all the top teams in college football competing in the same conference and just playing one another, oh, it'd be tremendous football. It would suck for everybody else, and I'm a UConn fan, so, look, we're never going to be considered for anything. UConn should be in the FCS, but for just a general college football fan, you'll get some great games and some great interest. Grace Rayner, who I know goes on Fan Talk quite a bit, covers Clemson. She said the ACC has never needed Notre Dame more than it does right now. Yeah, it's like you're trying to grab all sorts of assets while you can, give yourself some sort of power. And if the ACC adds Notre Dame, it goes back to what we were just saying. They're the last conference left that hasn't been rated yet. But you have Clemson, Miami, Florida State, maybe one of the Virginias. And then if you could get Notre Dame football-wise in there, right, that's a big get for them too. And you can be part of that conversation of these quote-unquote super conferences. You could have a seat at the table. Hey, here's what we could bring to the table. Here's our teams that would be of interest. It would suck for the other teams of the ACC, but for some of those teams there, or just the powers of the ACC to have enough powerful brands in that conference to keep that conference together and afloat. Which is why I go back to 2 years ago in the pandemic, the ACC had their opportunity when Notre Dame, for the first time, needed the conference more, and they just let them in for 1 year and then let them go. And that was a huge mistake, and that's not armchair quarterback. I said it at the time. There was no foresight from the ACC. You should have never let Notre Dame in the conference for 1 year just to let them go back and do their own thing. You had them by the short hairs. You say, we'll let you in the ACC, but you're going to have to stay. And if not, good luck this year putting together a schedule. And the ACC didn't do it. They didn't play hardball. And now we'll see what happens moving forward with all this movement in college football. It's interesting. Right now, I guess it's just kind of a thought or the initial report. We'll see how much further this goes in the coming days. But it is an interesting thought to have in regards to college football. USC and UCLA potentially going to the Big Ten. Hey, when we come back, Brooks Koepka spoke out about his move to LIV Golf. I found it interesting. We'll play that audio coming up. And then also, we'll circle back to the Freddie Freeman thing. Not so much about Freeman, but instead, this whole ordeal with Freddie this week. We talked about it earlier today because things are only getting even worse, maybe. We're all involved. But when we come back, why it may actually be a good thing for his replacement, Matt Olson. And we'll get to that coming up as well. Plus, we got to try to get ready for July 4th. Last time we're on the air before the July 4th holiday, and you probably have some sort of cookout coming up this weekend, so we'll be here to help. All that and more coming up. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today?
It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. As we get ready for July 4th, celebrate America. I won't be with you again after today till July 11th, which sounds further away than it is. I'm just off tomorrow next week. I'll be back the following Monday. We'll all be off July 4th. Hopefully you are as well for the holiday. We'll talk about the holiday coming up in a little bit. The last segment, we were talking about the potential move for a couple of teams out of the Pac-12. Barrett Salih tweeted that he covers sports for CBS, does a little bit of everything. He tweeted, Oregon has left the Pac-12 for the LIV Tour. Yeah, you know, speaking of the LIV Tour, we'll transition to Brooks Koepka in a moment, but it goes back to what I've been saying all along, that, look, I don't like the idea of getting into bed with the Saudi Arabians, but I've also have defended the golfers in the sense that most decisions we make are based off of money, especially when it's a lot of money, when it could be life-changing money, and it could be less work as well. So I do understand where the golfers are coming from, even if I wish it wasn't the case. And I think that's the big piece that a lot of people are missing when they get on their soapbox and they're saying, oh, these guys, can you believe they're doing this with the Saudi Arabians? Look, it's a little bit different when the money's presented to you in person. And, you know, we all make decisions based off of money. Maybe you've never worked with the Saudi Arabians or, you know, drug money or anything like that. But, you know, we all make decisions based off of the idea of working less and making more. That's always been the dream. So while I may not like this whole idea, of course, I understand where the golfers are coming from, which takes me to Brooks Koepka. Look, we played the audio, or I guess I read the quote at the time. We didn't have the audio, but we had the quote of Brooks just 2 years ago talking about, you know, no money is going to change my life or make me it's not about money, yada, yada, yada. And then fast forward to a couple of weeks ago, he goes over to LIV Golf Tour, and everybody was showing this old quote from him, where it sounds like he is very hypocritical now. What he did joining the LIV Golf Tour went against exactly what he was saying in this quote from 2 years ago. Anyways, here was Brooks Koepka addressing the media this week about his move to the LIV Golf Tour, and here's what Brooks had to say about the whole thing.
You were vocal in your support for the PGA Tour in the past. What changed?
Just my opinion, man. My opinion changed. That was it. You guys will never believe me, but we didn't have the conversation until everything was done at the U.S. Open and figured it out and just said I was going to go one way or another. Here I am.
Were the facts of the decision change or what changed from, you know, when you said that PGA Tour, you were happy on the PGA Tour to now?
Like I said, opinions change. And I feel very comfortable with the decision I made. I'm happy and I did what's best for me.
Brooks, what was your reaction? What did you think when Rory?
What is it? I can't hear.
What was your reaction? What did you think when Rory basically said that You know, that you went back on your word, that you were, he used the word duplicitous.
Look, I got respect for Rory as a player. He's good. He's phenomenal. I'll be honest with you, I didn't see it. I didn't hear about it till basically like a day ago. So, look, he's entitled to his opinion. He can think whatever he wants. He's going to do what's best for him and his family. I'm going to do what's best for me and my family. And can't hate on anybody for that. And like I said, opinions change, man.
That was Koepka yesterday. I'm actually a Brooks Koepka guy. I know he's not, like, well-liked. He does come off as a jerk. That's part of the reason, I guess, why I like him. I don't know. It's like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas when he says he's canuto contento, which means you're content with being a jerk, although that's not really what it means. If you don't speak Italian, it actually means something worse, canuto contento. But in the movie, right, Pesci says he's content with being a jerk. He doesn't care who knows it. He's happy with being a jerk. That's Brooks Koepka. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what you think of him. He doesn't care how he comes off. He goes up there in that press conference. He's just giving his deal, and he doesn't care what you think of him or how he, you know, if he looks like a jerk. He's content with being a jerk. Cornuto contento. But I do like Brooks almost nailed it perfectly. Almost. He almost gets a perfect grade for me in this press conference yesterday, regardless of the decision he made. Because a couple of things, right? He said, it's best for my family. Finally, we get a golfer that can be a little honest with us. Instead of this stupid PR line of trying to grow the game or whatever, doing good for the game, whatever the stupid line is they're saying. Using golf for good, whatever that nonsense is that they've been fed by the Saudis to sports wash. Brooks at least stood up there. He didn't give us that nonsense yesterday and say, hey, I think it's good for golf. No, he said, I'm just doing what's best for my family. I appreciate that Brooks Koepka can stand up there and be honest. That's all it is. He's doing what's best for his family, which is making more money. It's as simple as that. And I also like that he said opinions change, right? Because everyone's going to throw this back in his face. Hey, wait a minute. 2 years ago, you said these things about not needing more money. Now you're taking more money. As he said, hey, you know, things change. You could say the same thing about Phil Mickelson. At one time, Phil may have been swimming in it. Then he lost, you know, whatever it was, millions of dollars on gambling. You know, things change. Now he kind of needs more money. But I always say this just as a little bit of a sidebar based off of what Brooks Koepka said. People always give those in this industry a hard time for changing their opinions. I've had, every once in a while, people will bring it up to me like, wait a minute, you flip-flopped on that. We all change our opinions with more information. Teams change their opinions. Why can't sports analysis, analysts, or opinionators change their opinions? Right? The Cardinals drafted Josh Rosen and then within months realized, oh, actually, he's not the guy. Let's get rid of him. They changed their opinion pretty quickly on that guy. But for some reason, sports fans have a hard time when, just to pick a random name, Stephen A. says, this guy's really good. And then a year later, you see a clip of him saying, oh, this guy's a disaster. Yeah, I mean, you could change your opinion too as you get new information. Right? If you go to the doctor and suddenly they have a new way to try to you know, save you from your condition, it's not the same healing process you were going through before. They came up with a new way, a new medication, a new study, a new operation, whatever it is. Yeah, you'll be willing to try it as well. Like, originally, this wasn't the plan, but we came up with this new idea that we think could really help treat you. Okay, let's do it. All right, you change your opinion. Originally, you weren't going to do surgery. Then things weren't progressing very well. Now you're going to do surgery because things change. So opinions can always change. We see it from politicians all the time, and then people always point to that. Wait a minute, this guy 40 years ago said that, well, you know, things change. The world changes. People's opinion changes. And the case of Brooks Koepka, to then bring it back to him specifically, as I've been saying throughout all this, your opinion may change, too, when the money is on the table in front of you. You may say, I would never do such a thing because you don't have to worry about ever being put in that position. Then you sit down one day and somebody's sitting across from the table and they're offering you $150 million. And it may not be on the most up and up thing, but they're offering you life-changing money. And we could all sit here today and we don't have to worry about such a, you know, contemplating such a decision and say, I would never do such a thing. I would never work with somebody so terrible or take drug money or blood money. None of it. And then you come home one day and somebody's sitting at your coffee table and they say, hey, here's a contract for $150 million. Like, all right, where can I sign? All right, that'll change your opinion too when the money's actually dropped in front of you. The one thing that I would knock Brooks Koepka on in that little one-minute snippet was just the idea of he said, oh, you guys are never going to believe me because he knows it doesn't sound truthful. I didn't have any conversations with them until after the Open because we know the audio, the interview he did at the start of that. When he said, why are we talking about the LIV Golf Tour? Yada, yada, yada. That's the one thing that I think Brooks is not being honest with. I find that hard to believe that when he gave that interview, he had no communication with LIV Golf Tour. He was not going to go over there. And then he made that decision all within about 24 hours. Because news came out, I think, on Tuesday. He didn't talk to them after the weekend, so Monday he talks to them, Tuesday news comes. I don't know, I find that hard to believe, that it came together that quickly. A lot like Lincoln Riley, as we were talking about USC earlier, he used that same thing. I did not talk to them until I got home from the game. Well, it was announced on Sunday. So you're telling me this all got done within like 10 hours? I find that hard to believe. That's the one thing I dock Brooks Koepka for. Otherwise, I thought it was a perfect score yesterday from his press conference. I liked it. I liked what he said. The one thing is, I think you're still trying to take us for suckers when you say, hey, I didn't talk to them until after the Open that weekend. I don't think it came together that quick. I think you knew before that event. And when you say something like that, you're never going to believe me because you know it sounds ridiculous. That's why you set it up that way. You're never going to believe me, but this is what happened. You ever have a buddy that tells you that, oh, you know, that's the most ridiculous story they're about to tell. You're never going to believe what happened. They're running late for something. They finally show. You're never going to believe what happened to me on my way over here. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure. And they tell you the most ridiculous story. That's the one thing that stood out. Otherwise, Brooks Koepka, yeah, you nailed it. And like Joe Pesci said, right? He's content with being a jerk. He doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care who knows it. He's just going to do his thing. Part of the reason why I like Brooks. He doesn't pander. Right? He doesn't give in to like any sort of public press. He's just him. I appreciate people that are authentic, even if they come off as jerks. At least he's authentically a jerk. That's him. That's who he is. He's not phony. Anyways, we were talking earlier about Freddie Freeman. Doug Gottlieb had this report yesterday that I don't buy. The agent then responded and said the report is not true and at least is bluffing with potential legal action on Freddie Freeman. I was thinking about this. Maybe it's just a coincidence. Maybe. But boy, is Matt Olson playing really well these last couple of days. You ever go to like a high school reunion with your significant other and they tell you before, right, you didn't go to the same high school, you didn't grow up in the same area, but you're going back to their high school reunion and they say before, like, you know what, you may see John tonight. We dated for a number of years back then. I don't want things to be awkward. And then you show up at the high school reunion and it may be a little awkward. And here comes John strolling over, and he's trying to look like the big shot. And like, hey, here's what you missed. Well, here's what you missed out on. And now you're the replacement for that guy, John, who dated for all those years. And if you show up at that reunion and you know going in, like, oh, I'm going to see some of my girlfriend or wife, whatever, fiance, some of her former flames, right? You want to make sure you give a pretty good presentation, too. You also may be a little insecure, maybe a little bit, that you want to make sure you are a great boyfriend or husband, whatever, because you don't want any of that doubt to creep in. With your wife wondering, like, oh, what if I stayed with John? And so you're on your A game that night, and you bring it to that high school reunion. And when John strolls around, right, you're the alpha in the room. Anyways, when Freddie Freeman comes back to Atlanta, and everybody's talking about, oh, Freddie, he's crying. He wishes he was still here. It's too bad. Freddie's not our first. Why couldn't we work this all out? And Freddie Freeman could still be on the roster. And Matt Olson's sitting over there as like the new boyfriend, the new husband, thinking like, hey, what about me? Forget this old guy. You moved on from him. I'm the new guy here. We're in a relationship now. And some people can really, that can really ruin them. Some athletes, people in life may not be able to handle that pressure. The mental head games, whatever it is. Other guys may rise above it. May bring out the best in them. You show up at that high school reunion, and you are on your A game. And you bring the great dance moves, and you are the life of the party, and right, the wife's having a great time, and you're looking good. Got a haircut. Right, Matt Olson, since Freddie Freeman arrived back in Atlanta, he's now 7-for-18 this past week. A couple of homers, 4 runs batted in, a couple more hits last night, and a nice win. He was batting .247 before Freeman's return this weekend. Small sample size. It's only been 5 games. He's hitting almost .400. In those 5 games. He's coming around. He's getting hot. He's playing well. And maybe it's that idea of like, hey, you know, you wish you still had this guy? I'll show you. You should be happy that you're with me now. You should consider yourself lucky I'm your first baseman. And Matt Olson's played pretty well these last few games. By the way, the Braves have tied the record for most wins in any month ever in franchise history here in June. June wraps up tonight, so they get one more. They could set the record if they beat the Phillies tonight, which would also be a sweep. That'd be pretty good. But how about that? It's a long history for the Braves. I don't think this is just their Atlanta history. I think it's all time for the Braves. They're 21-5 this month. They've never won 22 games in a month, according to what I have read. They could do that tonight. Pretty good. And in the process, they entered June, trailing the Mets by 10.5 games. They're now only behind by 3 games on the Mets. Things are going to be really interesting moving forward. And the Braves, I said, this is going to be the big test. You're playing 3 teams in a row that all have winning records. This is the big first test for the Braves. Well, if they win tonight, it'll be a 7-3 homestand, and that's pretty darn good. And they'll they've already won two out of three series, and if they win tonight, they'll have swept the Phillies. Pretty good. So the Braves are having a pretty good month. Now, it's really fascinating. I'll be back on air after today on July 11th. That's when the Braves and the Mets play again, the next time. And I believe it's in Atlanta, right? Three-game series, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of that week. That's going to be really fascinating. By then, maybe, who knows, maybe the Braves are already in first place. That's about a week and a half away. They're three games back. We'll see. But starting on that day, July 11th, the Braves will play the Mets 15 times in their final 75 games. That is 20% of their remaining schedule. A fifth of their games will be against the Mets. So the NL East should be a lot of fun over the final 3 months. All right, once we get into July, they play the Mets 20% of the rest of their games, 15 times out of their last 75, which was a great job done by the scheduling for Major League Baseball. And it's going to start on that July 11th. So I'll be back on the air July 11th, and I'll be looking forward to that game that Monday night. Braves-Mets three-game series begins. We'll see where the Braves are in the standings. But I owe them a bit of apology. They won 14 straight. It was a little hard. They've now gone 6-3 on this big test of a homestand and also have shortened the gap. But I've also said throughout this whole thing that I do think, you know, this race is going to come down to September, and I thought the Braves would be right in there in the East. Even when they were beating a bunch of bad teams, I said they still got to prove to me they could beat a good team, but I also thought they'd hang around in the division. And boy, are they. They've cut that lead down from 10.5 to 3 this month alone. Now, when it comes to Freddie Freeman, you may recall that Clayton Kershaw, remember he had, you know, kind of some strong words for Freddie the other day to the paper. Freddie said they have since addressed it. They've cleaned it up behind closed doors, him and Clayton Kershaw. We actually got the audio of Clayton Kershaw talking about Freddie Freeman, the two having a conversation about everything going on this past week with Freddie's emotional return to Atlanta. Here's Kershaw's opinion on everything that happened this past weekend.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. No crying.
That's what Clayton Kershaw had to say to Freddie Freeman. Exclusive audio for the Morrow Midday Show. Fortunately, I think they've worked things out behind closed doors. But what an emotional weekend it was for Freddie.
We had a recorder in the clubhouse.
That's right.
By the way.
Yep, inside sources. I know good people in that Dodgers organization, and they happened to record that conversation. They sent it to me, and I said, thank you very much. By the way, Clayton, you sound a lot like Tom Hanks. I don't know if anybody ever told you that. But that was how it went between Clayton Kershaw and Freddie Freeman the other day. There's no crying in baseball. Get out there and play first base and make your millions. When we come back, we have to get to our persona non grata. Plus, we'll look ahead to July 4th, help you get ready for your celebrations. It's the Morrow Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Got a few things to get to before we close up shop here on this Thursday. Get ready for the July 4th holiday. I won't be on air tomorrow or next week, so I'll talk to you after today again on July 11th, and I'll be looking forward to it. I'll be honest with you, I never like taking time off. It's always weird. I always feel like I have to bottle it up. I'm sitting at home going crazy thinking, I have so many things to say about sports. Who am I going to say them to? So I'll drive my family nuts with all my sports opinions over the next few days as we celebrate the holiday. And then we'll be back on July 11th and have all sorts of fun again here a week from Monday. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Let's go to the phones. We haven't heard from him in a while. Sam's with us. Sam, what's going on? How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Luke? I know it's been a while, so
yeah.
I'm still trying to record.
Well, good to hear from you. What's up?
Hey, I have one question for you for today.
Oh, okay.
Did you get to know the updated schedule for the CFC and men's basketball schedule?
No, I haven't. I don't think the schedule's out yet, is it?
Well, not quite yet, though, because I didn't talk with Pat Kelsey about it, and I'm still confused about it. So the other thing I wanted to tell you is what do you think about the Kenny Pickett's first career as a Steeler?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Kenny Pickett does for your Steelers now replacing Ben Roethlisberger. I think that We talked about this in the show previously. If I'm the Steelers, I don't throw Kenny Pickett out there week one. I would let Mitch Trubisky start the year and ease Pickett in. I don't need to rush him onto the field, but I do like Kenny Pickett. I'm a Kenny Pickett guy. I'm curious to see how he does in Pittsburgh. It helps that he's got Mike Tomlin as a Hall of Fame coach. They're going to have a good defense there. It's a tough division, but I'm curious to see. I think Kenny Pickett could work in the NFL. But in regards to this year, if I'm the Steelers, I'll take my time. I don't want to throw him out there week one. I'll wait until October before I put him on the field for the first time, if I even do it that early.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Hope you're doing well and stay safe, my man.
Hey, likewise, Sam, before we let you go, for July 4th coming up, what's your favorite thing to have at a cookout?
Well, I'm a big cookout fan, but I like Marco's Pizza better.
Oh, you rather do pizza on July 4th?
Well, actually, my family is coming to town on the 4th of July.
Awesome.
We belong to this yacht club called the Zandon Yacht Club. And they won't have a meat lover special.
Oh, now you're talking. That's how you celebrate. Hey, Sam, have
you
a great
–
I'm going to be out of town. Otherwise, I would love to. That would be great. But you have a great July 4th for me instead.
I'll be Uncle Sam.
I love it. That's perfect. Appreciate it, Sam. Have a good July 4th. That's right, Uncle Sam. Hey, you know, I tell you what. I've always said that this is the great – we don't do everything perfectly. We got things to fix in this country. It's the greatest country, though. I'm very patriotic. I love this country. No other place could I have a career where I just sit here and talk sports all day. And that's all. That's what I do. I mean, are you kidding me? It's fantastic. So with July 4th coming up, celebrate accordingly and responsibly and have a great time. But I think it's interesting. Our country is a lot like, I guess you would say, Curt Flood, who started free agency in Major League Baseball. It is a sports show, so I have to make a sports connection. Right? Remember, we had the why would I say remember? Nobody was around in the 1700s. You may recall way back when in 1776 when our good friend signed the Declaration of Independence. Nobody remembers that. But if you think back to history class, if you remember back to school, right, we declared our independence in 1776, but then we had a fight for it. And we had the Revolutionary War, and that went on for about 8 years, 7 years. And that continued to 1783. So we declared our independence, then we had a fight for it. And if you go back to Curt Flood, Major League Baseball, right, the start of free agency, he declared, hey, I want freedom. I want to be a free agent. That was in 1969. And then Curt Flood had to fight for it. And free agency did not come to baseball and then afterwards other sports until 1976. He had to fight for it for 7 years. After we declared our independence, we then had to fight in the Revolutionary War for another 7 years. So, America, right? It's no wonder we love sports because we started off, we were like a free agent, this country. Back in 1776, we said, hey, wait a minute. We want to become a free agent. And they said, okay, well, you're going to have to fight for those rights. And we said, sure. Just like the Beastie Boys. We fought for those rights for 7 years, and then we became a free agent. And Curt Flood said back in the 60s, hey, I want to be a free agent. You shouldn't have all this control over me, Major League Baseball. And they said, well, you're going to have to fight for it. And he did. He fought for 7 years. And then in the mid-70s, we got free agency. Imagine the sports these days without free agency. What a weird world that would be. In the NBA, Major League NFL, there was no free agency. They couldn't control where they went ever. That'd be something. So thank you to Curt Flood, too, for bringing us free agency. Or I guess the original free agent was the United States of America. So thank you for that, too. As we get ready for July 4th, we're going to do it at the end of every week. I won't be on the air tomorrow. So we have to do it today before we go this afternoon. But we call it persona non grata. Who is the, you could say, bum of the week? Who is persona non grata now? Who went against the family? We have a few people we could choose from. But it's time for this week's persona non grata.
Disgrace to this university, to this country, and humanity in general.
You blew it!
Ah, shut up in your face.
You are one pathetic loser.
God, Karen, you are so stupid.
Don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
Ah, shut up in your face!
Time now for this week's Persona Non Grata.
There's a few people to be able to choose from this week as we look back on the things that we discussed throughout the week. I mean, I think you could just say the Charlotte Hornets right now with their mess of an offseason, not only in terms of a basketball perspective, but even worse than that. When Montrezl Harrell gets arrested, now that was for, you know, having weed in the car. Okay, I don't know why he needed to have so much, but we can understand that. Then you get Miles Bridges last night arrested for domestic violence. That's never okay. We'll see how that plays out. But the Hornets right now are embarrassing themselves this offseason. Maybe you say the live golfers. We had some awkward press conferences this week. We played the audio from Brooks Koepka. I thought Brooks was the most forthcoming of any of the golfers. Other guys were saying, hey, I've been working hard for years. I need time off. I mean, you know, come on. You're a golfer. You could choose how many events you were in. At least Brooks said, doing what's best for my family. He didn't exactly come out and say, yeah, they offered me more money, but you know what he means. And that's what all these golfers should be saying, because we know that's why they made the decision. And if they were more honest, I think it'd be easier to accept. We could also say Arkansas would be this week's persona non grata, because we learned earlier this week on Tuesday that according to one study, no state in this country produces more ugly people than Arkansas. Hello, Arkansas. We know you're listening today. I could also say maybe Rob Manfred, or more appropriately, the person that wrote that article for ESPN.com that we talked about yesterday, that tried to paint him as a sympathetic figure. Not buying it. But I'm going to stick with baseball. I'm going to say this week, persona non grata, I mean, it's by definition. It's Freddie Freeman. He's no longer part of the family. He came back as the enemy this past weekend. Don't let the crocodile tears fool you. If Freddie wanted to be in Atlanta, he could have been in Atlanta. Things may have got mixed up this offseason. His agent may not have done the best job. But don't take the blame away from Freddie. He had an opportunity. The first offer he got was from the Braves. It was 5 years, $135 million. And if you really wanted to be in Atlanta to the point that you're driven to tears this past weekend, you would jump at the opportunity to sign that contract to stay. But it wasn't about staying in Atlanta. It was about getting the most that you could. And that's fine. That's what athletes do. But then let's not revise history and sit here this week and say, oh, his poor agent really screwed him over. If he really wanted to stay in Atlanta, you signed that deal. It was a fair offer. But why did he want to go to free agency and check in with other teams? Because he wanted a 6 year, maybe even more money. And that's what he got from the Dodgers. And now he's on the other side. I know Freddie gave you 15 great years. Look, I'm leaning into this whole heel angle because I'm sure Braves fans hate hearing this from me. I'm sure all Braves fans are still defending Freddie Freeman. I will not defend him. You're responsible for those actions, and the agent works for you. And you had a chance. The first thing, the first offer you got was from the Braves. If you really wanted to be there, you could sign. As I always say, right? Like if you're going car shopping and you think, like, man, I think I want a Lexus. Let's go look at Lexuses first. And you test drive it, and you look at it, and you think, yep, this is the car for me. This is what I wanted, and it checks out. I inspected it. It's good. It drives well. It's comfortable. It's big enough. It's got all the gadgets. Why would you look around any further? Only if you're looking for something else. And for Freddie, he was looking for a 6 year. That was the issue with the Braves. He wanted them to go to 6 years. So I don't have a ton of empathy. You could have been in Atlanta all you wanted. And it was emotional this past week, and then he fired his agent and all that stuff. It's just passing the blame. The agent works for you. You turned down the offer from the Braves. You could have stayed in Atlanta. You could have never hit free agency if you really wanted to. Why did you want to hit the market? We know why, because you want to see what else is out there. Otherwise, you never become a free agent if you wanted to stay in Atlanta for the rest of your life. And you could tell me, well, he wanted to make sure he got proper value. Look at the contract he ended up signing. When you include taxes and deferred payments and all that sort of stuff, he's making less now for the Dodgers. So tell me about the awful deal that the Braves offered him. I still blame, right? If Freddie's upset he's not in Atlanta, he could fire people. He could look around. He could cry, whatever. I put the blame on him. And he always seems like a great guy, and he's a great baseball player, and he was a great leader for the Braves. And this past offseason, I said he should retire as a member of the Atlanta Braves. But let's be real in all this. He's responsible for where he wound up. And with that said, when we talk about persona non grata, he fits the he's on the other team. Sorry. He's the opponent now. And when it comes to the playoffs, who are you going to have to worry about the most in the NL? Probably the Dodgers. He's on the Dodgers. If you're a Braves fan, after these last couple years, you should hate the Dodgers. Sorry. He chose to go elsewhere for 6 years. Wanted more time in that contract. He's the opponent. He was great while he was here. Now he's the enemy. He's persona non grata. He's turned against the Atlanta Braves. We'll wrap up your Thursday when we come back. It's more Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
For alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know. Home. I know who
Wrapping up your Thursday on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. And the podcasts are also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page. You can always take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Download the app, and through the app, you can listen to the show live or on demand from anywhere in the world. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 10 different states and multiple countries on this Thursday. Download the app online, Charleston Sports. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Before we go, we have some more news to get to.
Justin, Nets forward Kevin Durant has requested a trade out of Brooklyn. Sources tell Shams Charania. Oh, boy.
Wow. How about that? After Kyrie opted in.
3 hours before free agency.
Man. Well, sounds like a good time to take a few days off, let me tell you. We'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson. We'll see what happens here at Kevin Durant. That's surprising to me. I thought him and Kyrie were in this together. And when Kyrie opted back in, that would put an end to this drama of the stars reportedly wanting out of Brooklyn. However, I guess that's not the case. I'll be off tomorrow and next week. Hope you have a great July 4th holiday weekend. Hopefully you get some time off yourself as well. Celebrate with the family. Have a cookout. Trent, what's the number one thing you got to make sure you get at a July 4th cookout?
Get a hot dog. Get a hot dog with some ketchup and mustard, folks. Enjoy yourself. Be safe.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. I'll take a nice daiquiri or a frozen drink, too. No problem with that. Throw an umbrella in there if you want. Good with me. Get some watermelon, pina colada. Hey, we'll talk to you on July 11th. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. Say goodbye for now. Say hello again in about 10 days. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.